University and our Students Union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We are grateful to be on Dene, Cree, Saulteaux, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papa Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge continuing colonial violence and respect Indigenous knowledges and traditions. So, welcome to meeting number one of this year. The next meeting of Students' Council will take place next Tuesday, May 16th, 2017 at 6 p.m. right back here in Council Chambers, as long as we have business to discuss. So, before we get to everything else in speaker's business, a few kind of quick notes. So I've pulled up, as you can see up here, Bylaw 100, Sections 21 and 22. These so sections of bylaw were passed by last year's council and apply to all of you wonderful people. So they talk about attendance for Students' Council and attendance for standing committees. So basically what they say in short summary, and I encourage you to read them in full to get the full kind of essence of what was written in, but basically you have to attend 50% of all meetings of council and committees. If you do not attend at least 50%, you will be removed from your seat as members of council. For those of you that are here, and for those people who may listen to the recording later on, I highly recommend that you attend as many meetings as possible at the start of the spring-summer semester. The spring-summer, like the actual business of council is kind of unknown, and if there isn't very much business and you miss one or two meetings at the beginning and you don't have a chance to make those up later on, you could lose your seat. So my recommendation to you is attend as many meetings as possible, and especially attend as many meetings as possible at the start of the semester. Yes?
Point of personal privilege.
Yes,
Do proxies and calling in count as attendance in these standing orders?
That is a very good point, President Bannister. Yes, they do. And also, it should be noted that if you are even here for one roll call, that counts as your attendance for the meeting. Okay? That's the way this is currently written. Half attendance still counts as attendance for that meeting. Okay. Are there any questions about these regulations? I'll send them out by email, so you'll have this in your inbox hopefully by the end of tonight. But are there any questions before we move on, just strictly about attendance? Okay. Wonderful. So with that, let's quickly actually take attendance here, and then we'll move on with the rest of speaker's business. All right, so as you can see, last meeting's attendance is already on here, and this will, as far as I know, be posted on the SU's website. So there should already be a link on the SU website to this spreadsheet. So, President Bannister.
Here.
Vice President Scott.
President.
Wow. Announcing his intentions to run already. Vice President Patterson. Is here.
Huh?
Vice President Patrick. Here. Vice President Ujikov.
Here.
Governor Sundari.
Here.
Councilor Lefferson.
Here.
Councilor Chu.
Here.
Councilor Gidda.
Here.
Councilor Hassan.
Here.
Councilor Piasecki.
Here.
Councilor Wilson.
Here.
Councilor Chen, Councilor Lilo, or proxy for Councilor Lilo. Councilor Swain, proxy for Councilor Palandat.
Yeah.
Councilor Howell.
Hi. Here.
Councilor Ferris.
Here.
Councilor Thibodeau.
Here.
Councilor Nguyen.
Here.
Councilor Kanawi.
Here.
Councilor Sorensen.
Here.
Councilor Hamid.
Here.
Councilor Brophy.
Present.
Councilor Christensen.
Here.
Councilor Sunday.
Here.
Councilor Brideroli.
Here.
Time twister. Councilor Fleming.
Here.
Councilor Kwan. Councilor Howie. Or proxy for Councilor Howie, yes, that's correct. Councilor DePinto.
Here.
Councilor Counselor Mahal? She's not here. Counselor Kim?
Here.
Counselor Jones?
Here.
Counselor Wong?
Here.
Counselor Choi?
Here.
And here. General manager is not. All right, so once again, just like the last meeting, if I mispronounce your name, please let me know so I can correct that, or else I'll be mispronouncing it for the entire year. So would love it if you corrected me. All right, with that, we'll take care of the installation ceremony, so I'll ask all members of council to please stand. And so that it's easy for you to follow, the oath is in front of you on the screen. So please repeat after me. I'm not here for me.
I am not here for me.
I'm here for the people that lent me their power in exchange for a promise.
I am here for the people that lent me their power in exchange for a promise.
I will keep that promise to make decisions with their interest in mind.
I will keep that promise to make decisions with their interest in mind.
I will vote after knowing the facts, not before.
I will vote after knowing the facts, not before.
I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own.
I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own.
I will oppose ideas, not people.
I will oppose ideas, not people.
I will think before I speak, not speak just to think.
I will think before I speak, not speak just to think.
I will take the job seriously or not take the job at all.
I will take the job seriously or not take the job at all.
I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own.
I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own.
I'm not here for me.
I am not here for me.
Please be seated. Wonderful. So with that, we'll go into the inaugural address of the executive officers and the undergraduate board of governors representative. So let's start with President Bannister.
Sure. So hi everyone. Welcome to our first official council meeting. So the executives and I are just gonna give a brief summary of what the Students Union does, our values, our mission, and what we aim to do as an organization. And then Mike, if you want to add, or Governor Sundar, if you want to add anything at the end, please feel free to do so. So after we finish, I do have some little booklets that are just little brief things about the Students Union that you're welcome to take. Unfortunately, there isn't enough for everyone, so I'm just going to leave them up there and only take it if you want it. If everyone wants them, I can get more, just let me know. So I'm just going to introduce this. So the Students Union, I believe it was founded in 1908, so it's been around for a really long time, almost 100 years. And our mission is to serve, represent, and engage with students. So something that's really important to know as a member of Students Council is just fundamental things about the Students Union, and that includes that we are not a department or an arm of the university. We are actually a totally separate organization that is not in any way funded by them or legislated as them having control over us. In fact, the reason we have power is through something called the Post-Secondary Learning Act. So the Post-Secondary Learning Act is a document by the provincial government that says that each university in Canada gets to have one students' union that advocates for the rights of students. So that is very fundamental information about the Students' Union that you should always keep in mind. The Students' Union is run by five executives, us five, who do operational things every day. And then, of course, are managed by Students' Council, which is the 32 of all of you folks. So with that, I will turn it over to Vice President Scott.
Thank you, Marina. So I'll start off by saying we offer, as the Students' Union, we offer services and business that provide practical, social, academic, and personal to needs to students. So we fill those voids for students. These include things like orientation, safe walk, the businesses that we run, like Rat and Dewey's, Daily Grind and Undergrind, and services like the support peer support program, as well as things like the online registry for jobs and housing. So as you all know very well, it's a very vast portfolio that the Students Union runs. We're a very unique organization in that we kind of have our finger in every pot, so to speak, and we're very dynamic that way. One of our important values that those are the businesses and services we offer.
I'll jump into here. So
together, help people connect, and build a community on campus. As you guys know, the Students' Union hosts a range of community building events, both small and large. We have a variety of venues, including the Dinwiddie and the Mark Horowitz Theater as well, that's going to go under some renovations soon. The Student Union also promotes, organizes, and supports a wide range of activities, activity weeks on campus as well, such as Sustainability Week and International Week. So our events team is pretty great as well, and they do a lot of events throughout the year, including Week of Welcome, which is an annual week-long celebration of the start of school year, which I'm sure many of you attended, Antifreeze, which is a team-based winter competition, the Christmas Party for Kids, which is an annual Christmas event for inner-city schools, Campus Cup, the Campus Cup dodgeball tournament, monthly comedy shows, regular movie nights, monthly series of singer-songwriter weeks, and our portfolio keeps increasing, which I think is pretty impressive.
I'll jump in here, and one thing that the Students' Union and I think the students, all students at the University of Alberta, take a lot of pride in is the Students' Union building. It's the Students' Union's economic center. We operate almost all of our operations through it, and it's a very unique building, and it's the only building on campus that is student-run and student-operated. Everything that happens in that building is specifically directed towards ensuring that students have the best possible experience in university. And we manage this student space in order for students to relax, study, socialize, and have services that are applicable to increasing their quality of life at the university. And one fact that's really exciting for this upcoming year is the Students' Union building was actually built in 1967. So this is the Students' Union building's 50th anniversary. So we're going to be planning a lot of exciting programming as well as different things throughout the year to really celebrate this milestone in the Students' Union building's life.
And one of the last things we do, probably, and my favorite thing to do, is we advocate on behalf of students to our provincial governments, our municipal governments, and our federal governments, as well as to our university at large. So that means that we sit on seats on GFC, all of their subcommittees, we have representation at the Board of Governors, we have representation on the Senate. We have students who sit on almost every subcommittee or committee of every kind here at the University of Alberta, and including lots of the boards which we're going to appoint today, as well as our own working committees and groups as well. So we do a lot of work directly representing students directly to government as well as directly to our university. And without the PSLA and these other acts and these other support services that have been mentioned, we wouldn't be able to do that work. And we wouldn't be able to have wins like tuition freezes or do asks like rolling back tuition or things like fall reading week or something that came out of student work and student consultation.
We're going to do as an executive is we're just going to go over our values. So the Students Union operates on 5 core values, and we really try to keep these in mind in everything we do, whether it's operate the building, advocacy, services, you name it, we keep these 5 things in mind. So the first one is to inspire change for the world. So the Students Union at U of A, most of us, the only post-secondary institution we've gone to is the University of Alberta. Some of us have experience in other areas, but for the vast majority of us sitting here, this is the only institution we've ever known. And it's really easy to, you know, think that what happens at U of A and what happens with the Students Union at the U of A happens everywhere, but that really isn't the case. So a simple example is the University of Alberta Students Union, and the University of Alberta is one of the only campuses in Canada to have faculty associations. And that's really shocking for a lot of people. They think, well, faculty associations, department associations, those are givens, right? They're just student clubs that everyone has. But in a lot of other campuses, they have things like the science club, but they don't have the science students association. And the difference is, the Students Union at U of A, we take our delegated authority from the government and we give it back to students through their own representative associations. So that someone in science or medicine or nursing can say, I'm the nursing president, and that means I'm a student representative. That's something that's very unique to the U of A. That's just one example of how the U of A Students Union is inspiring change for the world.
Another value that we stand by is do what's right, not what's easy. And for me, this is a very powerful value, not only in the work I do with the Students' Union, it's something that I personally hold dear to my heart and it guides me through life. And I'll read the statement that goes along with it. We believe that acting with integrity and respect is essential to an open, collaborative, and democratic organization. And so I think this value is especially important because a lot of the work we do as a student union, as an executive, I think we need to remember that it's part of a bigger picture. You know, we're representing 30,000 undergraduate students, and we have to make sure that the work we're doing, and we continually ensure that the work we're doing is striving to meet the needs of those students. And so, I think it's important that, you know, whether it's services or advocacy or whatever we're doing at the time, we have to keep in mind that, you know, that work isn't going to be easy all the time, but we have to know that we're doing it for something that's something that's bigger than us.
Yep. So my value is act with unbridled compassion, and it's something that means quite a lot to me. I think it's such an important thing, and even us taking our oath and saying that we can oppose ideas and not people, it's so important. We're here to respect each other and to be compassionate. The statement that goes along with it is, we help students make the most of any challenges they face by providing an inclusive and caring environment. And inclusive is a word that I'm sure many of you have heard so many times, but the reason you have heard it so many times is because it's such an essential value here at the University of Alberta. It's something we strive to make better every single day, and it's something that we, as a student union, will continue to make better every single day.
I'm going to touch on always keep moving. Now, if anybody knows me, that's a pretty pertinent statement for myself, especially as I've lost a few battles in the past. I've come back around and kept moving. I've always gone back up, and I've tried to come back and keep swinging. Now, the statement that goes along with that is, we adapt and innovate to meet challenges and opportunities to our dynamic student environment. What that means to this council and what that means to this general students union is, we've already seen and we've talked a little bit about how wide the services we give and how the breadth and depth of everything we do is incredibly important. And that's because students are always at the forefront of what is interesting, what is inclusive, what is important to societies in general. And we push a lot of those things through this council and through the work that we do. So every decision that you make will have impact on the greater society and the forefront of that society. So no matter how much you get beat up or how much things get a little bit slowed down by process or slowed down by failure, always keep moving. And I quite like that one.
Now, last but not least is our final value. And I think it really encompasses a lot of the our other four values and ensures that the student union as a whole continues to be as strong as it is. I may be a little biased, and of course you can call me on it, but I do believe the University of Alberta Students Union is one of, if not the strongest students union in the country. And I think it's a lot to do with this value, and that is plan for tomorrow. We're a students union that we do a lot of things. We do what's right, not what's easy. We try to inspire change for the world. We act for unbridled compassion. We always keep moving. But what is all that if you don't ensure that you continue to do so into the world, into the next day? And of course, with an organization as wild as ours, a $14 million organization that seems to think that electing your executive every year and turning over your entire board of directors works, but it does, it's important to continue to plan for tomorrow. And I think we are able to do that, and we hold that value very close. So thank you for listening. That wraps up our inaugural speech. And we went over today our mission, our four core pillars, and our key values. And we have these handouts here if you want to check that out and take it home with you. And now I'll turn it over to Governor Sundar if he has anything to add.
All right. First off, I'd like to say thank you to the executive. I think that was beautiful, and it was very eloquently said. They touched on all of the things that we as student councillors need to know. Now, what I'm going to touch on is something that we said there in our oath. I am not here for me. This is something that resonates with all of us. We are a PSLA mandated body that is for students, by students, and because of that, every one of us sitting in this room represents all 30,000 undergraduate students here on campus. That's something that we have to keep in mind with everything that we do. One of the things that we need to see from all of us here in this room is, let's collaborate. You know, we're all here because we care about students. We're all here because we care about student interests and because we want to make sure that what we do is best for our peers. So for that, get to know your executive. Get to know your representative. Get to know each other. All of us come in with very different sides of the university. All of us come in with very different experiences. So bring that together. It's really going to help out throughout this year. Over the past year, myself and many others in this room have been able to see the impact that we've had on students' lives, on our peers around us. And that's something that all of you are lucky enough to experience throughout this next year. So just keep that in mind. I'm not here for me. We are not here for ourselves. We're here for each other. We're here for the students that we represent. So I'm excited to be working with all of you. I'm excited to be representing us on the board and working with council to make sure that the things that we do here comes up. And I'm excited to see what the new executive has for this next year. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. With that, we'll continue along in speaker's business and we'll move on to approval of council standing orders. Hopefully you all took the time to read over council standing orders. But does anyone have any changes they would like to make to standing orders? Seeing none, does someone want to move to approve standing orders? Yes, President Bannister. I saw your hand go up. We'd like to. Would you like to move to approve standing orders?
Yep.
Is there a seconder? See, Councillor Hassan's back it up. So, all those in favor of approving council standing orders, please, this might be a good time to go over this particular part here. So, in front of you, you'll all see a nice microphone with a little shenanigan attached to it. Now, at the base of this device, you'll see a little person that looks like they're speaking, kind of like a Bluetooth symbol. That is you turning your mic on and off, or you requesting to be able to speak at council. Right above that, you'll see a plus, a zero, and a minus. So when we voted council, the way we used to do it when we didn't have this system was placards would be up, placards would be down. But now that we have this system that makes it very easy for us, when we call for a vote on a main item or an amendment sometimes, we'll use this voting system. A plus is a vote for, a minus is a vote against, and a zero is an abstention. So we'll go over abstentions more during the Robert's Rules presentation, but no one should really be abstaining from this particular vote. We'll go over that again during Robert's Rules, but hopefully that explains this for now so that you all have a general understanding of how this particular system works. Does anybody have any questions about that? It's okay if you do. Nothing wrong with asking questions. All right. So we'll start our voting system up so you'll see it flashing in front of you in just a quick second here. And just vote. So we'll close the voting system in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 30 in favor, 0 opposed, and 1 abstention. Would the abstention like to be noted? All right. So just a quick note on that. If you do abstain for something for a particular reason, you can always note your abstention so it's actually written into the votes and proceedings that will come out of this meeting. So the minutes that come out of this meeting, that abstention could be recorded on there if you request to do so. All right. So, with all that out of the way, I think we've gone through everything for speaker's business for the first meeting. The only thing I'll add is that all the items from the late editions will be special ordered onto the main agenda, and motion 8F has been amended to read, Patches moves to appoint 2 members of Students' Council to the First Alberta Campus Radio Association Board of Directors. So like those 2 motions have kind of been put together into 1. So we're not doing that twice. All right? Wonderful. That out of the way, we'll go into presentations. Robert's Rules of Order presented by the speaker. Is there a sponsor for this presentation? Councilor Flanagan, their seconder. Vice President Larson. Is there anyone opposed to this particular presentation? All right, so let me put this up here. I will say this before I start my presentation. It's not the most exciting subject, all right? But I think it's something that everybody needs to know so that this body operates as effectively as it can. All right, so Robert's Rules of Order. What are they? So basically, they've been around for a very long
helps to guide and structure our meetings. So standing orders that we just approved are based in Robert's Rules. But what the difference between standing orders and Robert's Rules is that standing orders is a particular set of guidelines and rules that applies to this particular body. Robert's Rules applies to every body that uses Robert's Rules. I think most bodies at the U of A use Robert's Rules with the exception of GFC, which I think is kind of up in the air at this point. They kind of use their own sort of standardized rules. But that's basically what Robert's Rules is. Before we go into all the different types of debate and all the different types of motions that you can make, generally it's a good idea to know how these meetings are structured. So we'll start with speaker's business, which we just finished. Take attendance, we'll do any particular announcements. For example, any resignations that come up or any particular information items that council should be aware of that you may not have paid a whole lot of attention to, I'll point those out at the start of every meeting. Then we'll go into presentations. So presentations are written into standing orders, and presentations, the full presentation should last a maximum of 30 minutes. The only exception is when we decide to extend presentations because, for example, the provost is coming to do a presentation. Half an hour for the provost may seem like a lot of time, but the provost or other people sometimes tend to take all 30 minutes with their presentation and leave very little time for questions. And questions are also included in presentations in that 30-minute span. So after presentations are all done, we move on to executive and committee reports. So each committee chair or executive member or the member of the governor, Governor Sundari, has 2 minutes to provide an oral report, which sort of supplements their written report if they've submitted one. So assuming that all the executives and any committees submit their reports on time by 8 a.m. on Friday, then their oral report serves to kind of update council on anything that's happened to that point or highlight certain things that are in their oral report. By the way, feel free to ask any questions as they come up. Question period and open forum. So these are the times that are given to you and members at large to ask questions of each other, really. It's kind of like a period of discussion, but not really, because it's a one-person-to-one-person interaction. It can spur a lot more, like one question can lead to 15 more questions, but that's just the nature of question period. So question period and open forum both last a total of 15 minutes. They can be extended by an additional 15 minutes if 5 members of council wish to extend, and they can be, like, they both can be extended again if passed by 2/3 majority. So they can be passed as many times as you want, as long as you have a 2/3 majority that wants to extend question period. I've seen question period extended at least 2 or 3 times on several occasions. It's not uncommon, but with that being said, the best way to have your questions answered is in written format. If you submit your questions in written format to the executives or other members of council, they have plenty of time to give you a very thorough response, very well researched, and gives you a lot more background. And from my experience, being on council and also reading the answers, I think they're a lot more satisfactory than just like an answer that's provided kind of by the seat of your pants, basically. The other thing to remember when you're asking questions, you can only ask one question at a time. So a lot of people tend to ask a question and then they say, and also this and this and this. If you find yourself saying the word and, just stop. Please stop, okay? The reason I'm saying this is not for my benefit, it's really for your benefit, okay? The more opportunity you give to other members of council to ask questions, the more you'll learn. The more you take time for yourself, as Governor Sundari pointed out in his inaugural address, you're basically kind of being super selfish and saying, well, I should take all the time that I can off the 15 minutes and ask as many questions as I want. Okay? Make sure you give lots of time to everybody else to ask your questions. Okay? There's plenty of time. You can extend it as much as you want. Okay? You'll just go back on the speaker's list to ask a follow-up question, or I'd like to add to my question previously asked, which was blah, 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 blah. Yes?
I think this is a point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yes.
If we want to submit a written question, do we have to send it to, and how in advance do we have to send it?
That's a very good question. So You can send anything that you want to send to council. You can send to council.submissions@su.ualberta.ca. So that will come to the admin assistant of council and will come to myself. So from there, it'll be put onto the main agenda or the late editions. So the main agenda, the deadline for any items that go on the main agenda is 8 a.m. sharp on Friday morning, or 3 business days prior to council, basically. And I think in the past, this 8 a.m. deadline has kind of been a little bit lax, but this year, that 8 a.m. deadline will be enforced. So even if your items come in at 8.01 a.m., they will appear on the late editions. Okay? And the late editions publication deadline is 2 p.m., the business day of council. So that's 2 p.m. on Tuesdays. All right? If, for whatever reason, we have a council meeting the day after the long weekend, that means that 3 business days prior goes to Thursday. All right? Does that make sense? Cool. All right. Very good question. Let's try this one. The other thing to remember when you're in council chambers is you should be addressing people by their title, not by their first name. So if you heard during the inaugural address, if you noticed this, because I did, because I noticed these weird things, is President Bannister started off by saying Mike, but then she quickly corrected herself and said Governor Sundari, because Mike Sundari out in the world is Mike Sundari. But in here, he is Governor Sundari, just like every one of you is counselor, insert last name here, or vice president, insert last name here, or President Bannister. Okay, so that is your official council title, so you should refer to people by their titles. That also means that when you're asking questions or making points of debate, that should be directed through the speaker. It's going to sound very strange, but I don't know if whoever has seen debate at the ledge or in Parliament, but they rise on points of debate or questions, and they say, Mr. Speaker, the member or councillor this, or the member for Gatineau, or something like that, says this, blah, 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 blah. Insert the rest of the point here, okay? So that's how things are done here as well. It's all directed through the speaker. It sounds very strange because, like, you're looking straight at the person. You want to ask Vice President Scott a question, and you're looking directly at him. It's very weird to say, Mr. Speaker, I have a question for the Vice President academic. Has the Vice President blah, 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 blah? It sounds very strange, and it's a lot easier if you're just looking at me and asking your question to me, basically, so that I can direct Vice President Scott to answer. It's a really easy way to avoid that. Okay? If you find yourself using words like you, change that. Say they or him or her or whatever that person prefers as their gender-specific pronoun. All right? And we'll move on from there, okay? Any questions on any of that stuff? Yes?
If you do notice that something like that happens, would that be a point of order?
Yes, that would be a point of order to raise that if it's happening. For the first couple meetings, I'll say it's all right because you're still learning, but after the first couple meetings, please make a substantial effort to do it so that we don't have to keep reminding you of the rules or correcting you or just not allowing you to ask any questions because you're not asking them in the appropriate form. All right, after board and committee business come general orders, after question period come board and committee business and general orders. So that will be all the motions that you see, such as the motions that are in the main agenda. So anything that comes out of any boards or committees, or just generally that applies to all of council that's not specific to a board or committee, will come under here. So other general information. So when you're debating any items that appear in board and committee business or general orders, you have the opportunity to speak twice. And you have the opportunity to speak for a total of 8 minutes. That doesn't mean that if you use your first speaking turn and you only take 2 minutes, you have 6 minutes to speak the rest of the time. Use all 8 minutes to the fullest extent, okay? Because the other thing is, too, is the only way to allow yourself to have more speaking turns is to suspend the rules. If President Bannister runs out of speaking turns, she cannot be sponsored by somebody else. Like, Vice President Patches can't rise on a point of debate and say, I'd like to defer my speaking turn to President Bannister. That's not allowed. Okay? So make good use of both your speaking turns and all 4 minutes. Yes?
Is that to general speaking points, or is that for the entire debate?
So that's for each sort of item of business. So let's say for, it's hard on these because a lot of these are nominations, but if there was a bill being passed, so bylaw comes back with bill number one, which says that we want to remove mandatory attendance on council, God forbid. Okay. Then you, Councillor Sorensen, would have two speaking turns on that particular item of business. If an amendment came up to that particular bill, you would get two more speaking turns, but those two speaking turns are directly related to the amendment, not the main item. Does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions about that? That's a good question. Okay, so whoever has not yet had a chance to speak will get preference over people that have already spoken. And I'll do my best to alternate between points for and against a particular item. So again, all this is directed through the speaker. So make sure, again, you avoid addressing people by their name, refer to them by their position. As you all just read out in the oath, make sure you sort of attack the ideas or debate the ideas that are presented, not the individual people, okay? Don't just rise on a point of debate because you don't like Councillor Christensen. Okay, don't do that. Do it because of the things that he says. Okay. I'm just... All right? And comments that are not relevant or not germane to that particular debate, just leave them out. Focus on things that are relevant to the task at hand, basically. Any questions? Councillor Christensen often makes very good points. So all business must be brought in the form of a motion. So someone has to obtain the floor, and a motion must be seconded. Okay. So the mover, this is a very important distinction. The mover has to really believe in whatever they want to bring to council. The seconder only has to believe that this item needs to be debated. Okay. They don't have to believe in the particular point. If you're a mover of a motion, it's expected that you will be voting in favor of that motion. If you're a seconder, that is not necessarily the expectation because you just want to talk about whether or not council attendance should be removed, okay, for example. And once the item has been brought to the floor and has been stated, the motion can no longer be withdrawn and it cannot be amended without council doing so. Okay, so for example, with motion 8F, we amended that well before we started talking about it. Okay, that's allowed until I say, we'll now move on to motion 8F and we read out the motion. At that point, it can't be amended unless you choose to amend it as a body. I think we covered all the rest of that stuff. Moving a motion from the floor just means that it might not appear on the order papers on the late editions, but you can make a motion at today's council meeting that just appears because you make it, okay? And it's seconded and you consider it. That's not generally recommended, but can do so. So voting, as we just did, it's done by the use of the voting system within council, the only exception being nominations and calls for division, and also votes by secret ballot. Okay, that will also generally be done by the voting system, votes by secret ballot, unless council, for example, with scholarships, that's all by secret ballot, and that's all kind of handed in on pieces of paper. Until the voting is announced, you can change your vote. So even in a call for division, if Councillor Sunday chooses to abstain from a motion, but at the end he realizes that the no's almost have it, he can vote in favor and change the whole course of council potentially. Crazy. And in terms of abstentions, it's a good idea to abstain on matters of personal interest. So as one of the former managers of Discover Governance or directors or whatever the actual position is, because the position has changed, what they used to say was three things, but I'll add on a fourth. So they used to say blood, money, or sex. And the addition to that is grades. Okay, so if the person is related to you by blood, you should abstain. If there is a relationship, there's a monetary relationship between you and the person, you should abstain. If you are in a relationship with that person, you should abstain. And also, if your grades will be impacted by a particular decision, you should abstain from that motion. And in all four of those cases, make sure to have your abstention noted. Any questions? Cool. All right, so we'll get to motions now. So motions to amend, basically, you're basically changing some of the wording that's in the particular motion. You you don't want to, can't really change a motion and flip it all the way around. So if a bill says we want to remove counselor attendance, you don't want to say we want to add more attendance regulations. It's not how this works. Okay? You can vote down the removal of counselor attendance, but add another bill that says we're adding more regulations around counselor attendance. All right? You can have an amendment. You can have an amendment to the amendment, but you can't have an amendment to the amendment to the amendment. Okay? That just makes things way too confusing. Okay? Again, they must be relevant to the point of debate, and amendments are only friendly if everyone considers that they're friendly. So you can't say, I'd like to move a friendly amendment. That doesn't make any sense because you don't know if it's friendly or not. Okay? Just say, move an amendment, and then I'll ask if there's anybody that is opposed to that amendment. If no one is opposed to that amendment, it'll be moved as friendly. Okay. Call to question. This is probably some people's favorite motion to make. It basically ends debate immediately, and you vote whether or not you want to end debate. Okay? It's not debatable, it's not amendable, and it requires a two-thirds majority. Okay? A lot of these items that we're going to be talking about in the next couple slides here are all on the SU's website, contained in lots of different resources. If you have any questions, I also have a shortened version of Robert's Rules, a full version of Robert's Rules that's in here, and also all the resources that are on the website are also in this binder. Okay? A motion to suspend the rules. So basically, that suspends a portion of standing orders that we use. So the rules that we use to guide our meetings, you can suspend those at any time. Okay? You need a two-thirds majority. Again, this motion is not debatable and is not amendable. So that's all like the big motions, but there's tons more, so we can talk about those later if you have any interest in that through a point of parliamentary inquiry, which will come up in just a minute. So I'll go to points of order first, because that's something that Councillor Flamin already raised. So a point of order is basically if you think someone is breaching the rules, including myself, you can rise on a point of order that would be ruled on by the speaker. You can bring that forward at any time. All right? A point of personal privilege is basically to register a complaint and say that, for example, I think a common use of this used to be that you can't read the items that are up here. Okay? Like if something is too fine print, rise on a point of personal privilege and say, Mr. Speaker, I can't read what's on the screen. We'll just make that bigger. It can be a lot more substantial and a lot more serious than that, obviously, because points of personal privilege are often about personal nature. So if you feel like you're being attacked by somebody, you can rise on a point of order or on a point of personal privilege. Really. Other points of parliamentary inquiry are basically used to answer questions that aren't provided in this presentation. So if you have any questions that fall outside of this particular presentation, rise on a point of parliamentary inquiry, and we'll talk about that. So for example, any motions that we haven't discussed, if you want to lay something on the table, for example, you can rise on a point of parliamentary inquiry and ask how you can do so and what the requirements of that motion are. A request for information, this is also something that's important. While, let's say, for example, Vice President Ushakov is providing a point of debate, you can request information from Vice President Ushakov that he might have that you may not have. Okay, it's not an opportunity for you to debate with Vice President Ushakov or any other member of council. It's an opportunity for you to gain more knowledge. That's why it's a request for information. So if you find yourself using the words, is the councillor aware, or does the councillor know, you are then moving into the realm of debate, not this particular item. And that's out of order. The other thing that's important for this is that request for information, you can choose to not accept those. You can just defer those to the end of your speaking turn or just not accept those at all, especially if you're pressed for time. Because request for information, that comes out of your time. So again, comes back to those 4 minutes. If 3.5 minutes out of that is your request for information, that means you only have 30 seconds to make your point. Okay. Motions to postpone indefinitely. Maybe there were more motions. So basically, this is just to do away with bad motions or badly worded motions. And the motion can't be amended. Okay? It's just basically to get rid of something. Division. So this is not a call for division. This is the division of a motion. So if, for example, Councillor Christensen has a bill that he wants to make changes to one aspect of bylaw and another aspect of bylaw. You can choose to split those up in two and just vote yes on one motion and vote no on the other motion. Okay? The opposite to that is an omnibus, which is where you combine those two motions into one. Call for division. So this is an instance where every single person's vote will be on the record, and it'll be publicly available to everybody. Anybody can call for division, really, on any motion. Most of the time it's for motions that are a little bit more controversial or stuff that's a little bit more zesty, as President Bannister would put it. And again, in a call for division, you can choose to change your vote at any point in time until it's read out. Challenge the chair. I say this every year. Please do this if you feel it's necessary, or just do it just because. Okay? If I make a particular ruling on something and you do not agree with it because you think it's against the rules, challenge the chair. Okay? It's used to reverse a ruling that I have made. It's debatable, but it's not amendable, and it only requires a simple majority. Something to note in this for future reference so that it doesn't seem like I'm trying to do this later on. When you challenge the chair, I have an opportunity to speak at the beginning and at the end. Okay? Just so it doesn't come back to me. Motions to reconsider are basically to reopen debate on a particular item, and it can only be brought forward by somebody who voted on the winning side of a particular motion. Cool. With all that boring stuff out of the way, are there any questions? Yes?
Is this Austin Powers available online?
Yes, it will be available very soon on the SU's website. We'll be sending it in to Mercy, and she'll post it up on the SU website. Good question. If at any point you have any questions, any other questions that come up about this presentation, please feel free to ask. Okay. That's what I'm here for. I'm here as your resource. So, any other questions? Yes?
Supposing I make a point of privilege or something like that, what follows to that?
Like a point of personal privilege?
Yeah.
So then you'll say, Mr. Speaker, I have a point of personal privilege, and then you'll say what your point is. So you just follow that up by what exactly the context is, why you're rising on a point of personal privilege, and then the Speaker will rule on that point of personal privilege. Usually we'll just do whatever you tell us to do because we don't want to impede your participation in council or not allow you to participate, basically. Good question. Are there any other questions? These are good questions. I like these questions. Questions are good. Question everything. Okay. Great. All right. Seeing no more questions, close the presentation there. Fun. Super happy fun times. All right. So, we'll go back to the main agenda. So, that closes presentations, and we'll move on to executive committee reports. Do any members of the executive wish to make a report? President Bannister, go ahead.
So, we've only been in the office for about a week now, so not much to report besides what's written down. The only thing I'll say is there are some councillors still who are not in our council WhatsApp chat. If you are just like, I'm not going to get it, I don't want to be part of it, let me know. If not, I'm going to hang around after the meeting, and please come up to me if you're not already in it so I can ensure that you're added, or else you'll miss out on lots of fun stuff.
Okay. Thank you very much, President Bannister. Are there any other members of the executive who wish to make your report? Vice President Scott, go ahead.
Yeah. I also do not have much else to add. I mean, been busy getting setting up all my different meetings and stuff with the Office of the Provost and internal meetings, stuff like that. What I will say, though, is that I set my summer office hours Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. So if anybody wants to swing by, we can chat. If you want to get to know me a bit more, my door will be open. So it's up in 2900 sub, unless I decide to like sit on radio or the atrium patio, the patio. Then just swing by, and our people at the front desk can direct you where I'll be.
Thank you very much. Any other members of the executive who wish to make a report? Seeing none, close executive committee reports there, and we'll move on to board and committee reports. For this meeting only, I'm going to ask if any committee chairs or members of any boards have any reports they'd like to make. Normally, we go through all of the committees, the standing committees of Students' Council, as well as the board of governors. But because you all just started up in terms of committees, just generally ask, are there any reports that any boards or committee chairs wish to make? forum. Are there any questions for open forum? I don't anticipate any because no one has registered as a guest. And we are not live on the live stream because there is no live stream at this particular meeting. So we'll close open forum there. And we'll go into question period. Are there any questions for question period? If you do have a question, just press that little Bluetooth symbol that's on your little device in front of you. Just as Councillor Christensen has done. Please go ahead, Councillor Christensen.
Thank you. This is actually a question that I was wondering if Vice President Patches could touch on. If there will be radio, it seems like that was mentioned. I'm just wondering, if, you know, it's a great introductory question to ask. So, yeah.
Vice President Patches, go ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Christensen. There will absolutely be radio this summer. It's planned for the last Thursday of every month. Everyone can check it out. Essentially, what we do is in the sub plaza over across the road, right by the atrium, we set up a beer garden there and serve some food. And it's a great way to come out and enjoy the sun during the beautiful summer on campus and have some food, have some drinks, and enjoy good company. So I encourage everyone to come check it out.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to President Bannister.
My question is either for the speaker or the chair of CAC. Moving forward, will live streaming be, and who will be taking care of that? Will it be your office or will it be CAC's responsibility moving forward? Thanks.
So I'll answer that question. I think at this point it's a little bit undetermined. As I guess anyone who is at the CAC startup meeting can kind of attest to, there's a lot I think to sort out for the live stream. But once it's decided as to how we would like to live stream and what particular media we would like to use, whether it's what we used the past year or if we choose to live stream over Facebook, for example, I think all that will likely fall under the speaker's purview. The speaker will be responsible for doing all that so that nobody on council can be accused of conflict of interest, et cetera, et cetera. This also makes it easier to vet all the questions that come through on the live stream and any particular items that come up that are pertinent to council. So I think at this point, I think that'll come under the speaker, but I don't want to fully speak on CAC's behalf. Just this is where I'm assuming it's going to be going. Mm-hmm. So I think CAC will kind of define the parameters much more strictly at a later time. So, but if council would like, I will keep them updated on the situation behind the live stream, or Councillor Sunday as the CAC chair can provide that those updates. Any other questions for question period? All right, seeing none, we'll close question period there. Again, the best way to get your questions answered is to send them in written, in a written format. Send them to myself. Oh, Vice President Scott, did you have a question?
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't find the button fast enough.
That's okay. Go ahead.
President is on the mind, let me tell you. My question is to President Bannister. I was wondering if you could give an update on GovCamp, if that is still happening.
So as you can see from Vice President Scott's question, he said, can you provide an update on GovCamp? Whereas he should have said, can the President provide an update?
Did it on purpose, for example. could the President please provide an update?
Very academic of you, Vice President Scott. Vice President Bannister, go ahead.
Thank you, Vice President Scott, for that learning moment. I'm pleased to announce that GovCamp is a go. I believe it's June 2nd to 4th. I would very much encourage all of you to attend, all members of council to attend if they're able, particularly if you'd like to stay in the list of residents. In my experience, it does add value to stay in the residence over the weekend because you're able to bond with people a bit more. I believe that Rebecca from Discover Governance has, in fact, sent out the registration. So if members of council haven't already, I would urge them to sign up for GovCamp and definitely participate. If members of council are not interested in staying in Lister, that is totally fine. You can they can still always come for the day and leave therefore after. So I'm happy to answer any other questions about GovCamp that you may have.
Thank you very much for the question and answer and teachable moment, Vice President Scott. Any other questions for question period? Seeing none, we'll actually close question period there. And we'll move on to board and committee business, of which there is none.
So we'll move into general orders. Item 8A, Bannister moves to appoint Mark Aldershaw, Victoria DeYoung, and John Eben, or Eben, to the University of Alberta Senate upon the recommendation from the 2016-2017 nominating committee. Is there a seconder for this particular motion? Governor Sundari, President Bannister, would you like to introduce your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before we begin, I'll just point out that there is a slight typo on John Evigen's name. There should be a J behind that V, so just so members of the council are aware. So every year, the Students' Union Nominating, well, I guess I shouldn't say every year, it is best practice for the Students' Union Nominating Committee to be appointing members of Senate. The Senate is an organization at the University of Alberta. There are three student-at-large members, and the Vice President External has an automatic seat on it. Every year, these elections tend to be, or appointments tend to be quite contentious, which is part of the reason they go through our nominating committee. Because this is an HR thing, if you'd like me to go into any detail as to why these three candidates were chosen, or their qualifications, or what made them competitive against other candidates, we would have to go in camera for that. Happy to answer any questions. There were a lot of applicants if you want more detail, but that would require an in camera motion. So, yes, happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, President Bannister. Is there any debate on item 8A? Seeing none, we will go to a vote. So again, you'll use your handy-dandy voting systems. So the voting system should now be live. Please vote. The voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. That motion carries with 29 in favor, 1 opposed, and 1 abstention. Would the abstention like to be noted? All right, wonderful. So that motion carries. All right, so we'll move right along here to item 8B. Patches moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Landing Board of Directors. Is there a seconder for this motion? Vice President Larson. Vice President Patches, would you like to introduce your motion?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So as I described in the WhatsApp earlier today, we do have, so this is the first of many board and committee appointments to the various dedicated units the University of Alberta, the Students' Union is responsible for. So I did send out the description of each of the dedicated units, so I won't dive into too much details in that regard, but I will use the speaking term to briefly talk about why we have these why we have these seats on these boards and why it's important that everyone consider signing up. So these dedicated units, we collect fees on behalf of these organizations to ensure that they operate well. So to put it simply, we collect student fees. We collect these fees for these organizations, and therefore we have a right to sit on their board to ensure that student dollars are being spent in a proper manner. So it's very important that a student representative or two, depending on the board, sits on these boards and ensures that the organizations are operating in a manner that's good, in accordance with practices of good governance, and that they're spending the money in a way that students voted on. So I highly encourage everyone to take a look at these. Specifically, brief overview of the Landing, because the Landing is a space for students, to support gender and sexual diversity, and it does a lot of great work, and it's in the lower level of the Students' Union building.
Before Vice President Patches ends his introduction, feel free to rise on a request for information if you have any questions for Vice President Patches before he moves into nominations. Do you have any questions for him? Seeing none, thank you very much for your introduction, Vice President Patches. And we'll go into nominations. Are there any nominations for the Landing Board of Directors?
I'd like to nominate myself.
Okay, wonderful. Are there any other nominations for the Landing Board of Directors? Sorry, I apologize, I should have said this in advance. Councillor Wilson? Sorry, I also can't read.
I would also like to nominate myself.
Wonderful, all right. Any other nominations for the Landing Board of Directors? close nominations there, and we'll go into a similar style of what we did at the last meeting, which was each of the nominees will have 1 minute to kind of present their case as to why they feel they are the best fit for this. Just give me one quick second, we'll adjust the timer. And we'll go in the order in which the counselors were nominated, so we'll start with Counselor Hassan. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Thank you. Right off the bat, I do want to say that if you feel as if it's a conflict of interest for me to be running for this position, then vote in that regard. In the past year, I volunteered at The Landing. It is a place I hold very dear to my heart. I have come to understand the way that we provide services that I feel are very unique to this campus, that we're very both privileged and lucky to be able to provide and receive for all students. Personally, I feel like having been familiar with the space and the people that give their time and emotional labor to the place, I feel like I would be able to understand how best we can use the funds that students are putting into achieving a successful service to the best of their ability. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hassan. We'll go next to Councillor Wilson.
I just want to start off with saying that thank you for volunteering with The Landing, Councillor Hassan. I just wanted to say that I'm a women and gender studies major, so I study the background diversity of gender. Also, I have volunteered with the provincial GSA conference, which is the Gay Straight Alliance conference. So people from all around the world came to Edmonton in November, and I was the volunteer coordinator for that. So I think that's what makes me qualify for this. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Wilson. So we'll, for this particular vote, because there are only two candidates, we'll use our voting system. And this is no way indicative of how I feel you should vote. It's just the easiest way to count this. As people who have been on council before, this is not the first time I've done this. So what we'll do is a vote for Councillor Hassan will be using the plus sign. A vote for Councillor Wilson will be using the minus sign. Okay, so it's very easy to distinguish between both. All right? So just one second here. We'll start the vote right away. Please vote. The voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. So congratulations go to Councillor Hassan. With that, we'll move on to item 8C. Patches moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to Student Legal Services Board of Directors. Is there a seconder for this? Councillor Flanagan. Vice President Patches, would you like to introduce your motion?
So, Mr. Speaker, so similar to the last one, I'll make this brief as I don't have a chance to review this. Student Legal Services of Edmonton is a student managed non-profit society dedicated to helping low-income individuals with legal issues in the Edmonton area, and is ran by volunteers from the University of Alberta, as well as employees of a couple law students to assist in the operations. So we're looking for one counselor for this board.
All right. Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. We'll go into nominations, starting with Councillor Flanagan.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Brophy.
Councillor Brophy, do you accept?
I accept.
Are there any further nominations for Student Legal Services Board of Directors? Seeing none, congratulations, Councillor Brophy. All right, moving right along here. Vice President Patches moves to appoint one member of Students Council to the Gateway Student Journalism Society Board of Directors. Is there a seconder for this motion? We'll go with Councillor Thibodeau. Vice President Patches, did you want to introduce your motion?
Absolutely. So the Gateway Student Journalism Society is a not-for-profit organization that oversees the operations of the Gateway Student Newspaper. The important thing to know with the Gateway Student Journalism Society is that the board is directly responsible for the organizational elements of the Gateway. So They look over issues such as financial management, the hiring of staff, as well as the direct strategic direction of the organization as a whole, and does not make decisions on the direction of editorial as well as content creation. That is solely left in the hands of the creators to ensure that we have an independent third-party news source here on campus. There's two members of this board, myself as an ex officio member, as well as one counselor.
All right. Are there any nominations for the Gateway Student Journalism Society? Both Council, Vice President Larson, sorry.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Gidda.
Councilor Gidda, do you accept?
I accept.
Are there any further nominations for this particular board? Seeing none, congratulations, Councilor Gidda. All right, continuing along rather smoothly here, we'll go on to item 8E. Patches moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Alberta Public Interest Research Group Board of Directors. Is there a seconder for this? We'll go to Councilor Sunday. Vice President Patches, did you want to introduce your motion?
Absolutely. So the Alberta Public Interest Research Group, or APIRG, is most likely fresh in everybody's minds because they just went for renewal this year. And APIRG is a student and community-based research, education, and social organization that supports community-based research, education, and social activism. And they operate out of Hub. If you have one thing to know with this board is it is, from what I understand, is this board does meet a little bit more than the other boards. So there's really a great chance here to be even more involved in an organization. And I will take the speaking turn to highlight one other thing as well that I unfortunately missed in my opening blurb. With all of these boards, please ensure to, if you're going to sign up for them, it's very important that you strive to attend as many all meetings. They strive to attend all meetings and then make arrangements if you're unable to attend. It's very important that the Students' Union is properly represented on these boards, and it will directly affect the operation of that organization if you're unable to attend. I trust everyone to attend, but it is important to mention that.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. Are there any nominations for the APIRG Board of Directors? Yes, is that Governor Sundar? Go ahead.
I would like to nominate myself.
All right. Thank you very much, Governor Sundar. Are there any other nominations? Yes, Councilor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate myself.
All right. Thank you very much. Any further nominations for the APIRG DOD? Seeing none, we'll go to our speak up. Called it at the last meeting. Just adjust the timer here. All right, so we'll start in the order in which members of council were nominated. So we'll start with Governor Sundar. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now, so APIRG is a really interesting organization. It's something that I am really interested in looking into and seeing if I can support. One of the things that I ran on in my platform is something that I call issue awareness. One of the big things that I want to look at in this next year is how equity and diversity can be kind of brought forward to things that are happening at the Board of Governors. So I'd like to create that nice connection between one of the organizations on campus that, of course, supports students, especially in areas of equity and diversity, and how that can play to committees like the University Relations Committee at the Board of Governors that I sit on. So if you'd like to nominate me, I would love to make sure that we can translate those ideas back and forth to make sure that we have a really clear connection between what's happening at the university governance sphere as well as what's happening to support students here on the ground. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Governor Sundari. We'll go to Councilor Sunday. Go ahead.
First and foremost, I just want to say that I was APIRG's representative last year. I learned a lot, and this year, the majority of their board of directors are completely new. So I want to use my skills that I had last year and help transition the new board members on how to do things. And secondly, their anti-oppression mandate is something that's really close to my heart. Being in the Faculty of Data Studies, we deal with oppression and the intersectionalities of oppression. So on a personal level, I really enjoy going to the meetings every 2 weeks and talking with them because they're very like-minded people. So I just hope you vote for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. So once again, we'll go to our voting system, and again, this is no indication of how I would vote, but if you'd like to vote for Governor Sundari, press the plus sign. If you'd like to vote for Councillor Sunday, please press the minus sign. The voting system should now be live. Please vote. It's not working? It's not working?
Okay, it's not working.
Let's try this again. Is it working?
There we go.
Technology. All right, so the voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. So congratulations go to Councillor Sunday. All right, moving right along here, we'll go next to item 8F. So Patches moves to appoint 2 members of Students' Council to the First Alberta Campus Radio Association Board of Directors. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Flanagan, thank you very much. Vice President Patches, would you like to introduce your motion?
Absolutely, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So just a brief overview, and if I miss anything, I welcome any additions to this as well. But First Alberta Campus Radio Association is similar to the Gateway Student Journalism Society, and this is the not-for-profit organization that oversees the operation of a key thing here on campus, which is CGSR-FM, 88.5, Campus Community Radio Station. They're located in the lower level of the Students Union Building next to the elevators, and they're located, fun fact, in the old bank vault at the University of Alberta, in Students Union Building, because they used to have a bank down there. On this board is 2 councillors, and to be noted is that your term will start in August, and end in the following August. So it has a different term than the rest. So I of course welcome, you are able to continue on this even if you graduate in winter, but I would encourage individuals to be aware that the term is August to August on this board.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. Are there any nominations for FACRA? Yes, Councillor Brophy.
I'll nominate Councillor Flanagan.
Councillor Flanagan, do you accept?
I do.
Thank you very much. Any further nominations for the FACRA Board of Directors? And there are 2 positions here, which are 2 councillors. Yes, Councillor Thibodeau.
I'd like to nominate myself.
Thank you very much, Councillor Thibodeau. Are there any further nominations for FACRA? Seeing none, congratulations go to Councillors Flanagan and Thibodeau. All right, continuing right along here, we'll go to item 8G. Patches moves to appoint 2 members of Students' Council to the Students' Union Building Sub-Advisory Committee. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Ferris? Vice President Patches, would you like to introduce your motion?
Absolutely. So I will talk in depth about this group because it wasn't included in the descriptions of dedicated units. Sub-advisory group was a group started last year, and it includes individuals from the Students Union staff, such as our general manager, as well as different core managers, depending on the topic that we're talking about. It's chaired by myself, and we have two students at large, as well as 2 members of Students Council. And this group is really exciting, one of my favorite groups, in that we essentially get together and talk about what's going right in the Students Union Building, what's going wrong, what can be improved. It's an excellent platform for individuals to voice their concerns about the Students Union Building or where we think it should be going. And it's also an excellent resource for the Students Union staff as well as the executive to go and talk about issues specifically for Students Union Building. So if I have a question about, hey, what should we be doing? How should we rearrange the seating in the Students Union Building? One of my steps would be to take it to this group and get a bit of advice and stuff like that. So it's really exciting. It's a really exciting group if you're interested in what's going on in the building.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. Are there any nominations for the sub-advisory group? Yes, Councillor Ferris.
I'd like to nominate myself.
Thank you very much, Councillor Ferris. Are there any further nominations? Yes, Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate myself.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. Are there any further nominations for the sub-advisory group? Yes, Councillor Choi.
I'd like to nominate myself.
All right. As President Bannister would say. Things are starting to get a little bit zesty. Yes, Vice President Larson.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Fleming.
Councilor Fleming, do you accept?
Yeah, sure.
Even more zesty. Any further nominations for the sub-advisory group? Yes, Vice President Scott.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Wilson.
Councilor Wilson, do you accept? Way more exciting. Any further nominations for the sub-advisory group? Okay, all right. We'll close nominations there. And each member of council will get 1 minute to speak as to why they should be one of two members of Students' Council on the sub-advisory group. So we'll start with Councilor Ferris. If you could all just like press your button so I know exactly where you're sitting, because it's confusing sometimes. All right, so we'll start with Councilor Ferris. Go ahead.
Awesome. So I would like to be part of this committee just because I hold sub very near and dear to my heart. I spend a lot of time there. I volunteer a lot there. And yeah, I'm just really excited to see about all the changes that are going on, the anniversary and all the renos. So I hope to be part of that.
Thank you very much, Councilor Ferris. We'll go next to Councilor Sunday.
One of the main reasons I want to sit on the Students' Union Building Advisory Group is because of my involvement with Student Accessibility Services. Currently, I sit as an executive on the Student Accessibility Services Social Group, and one of the things that we look at is building accessibility. We have found that sub can be fairly inaccessible for students with disabilities. So I want to sit on this group to bring forward these concerns and to make sure that the Students' Union Building is accessible to all students. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councilor Sunday. We'll go next to Councilor Choi.
Trust this.
Oh. Go ahead.
To kind of steal from Councilor Ferris, like, you know, I also hold sub very near and dear to my heart. It's probably my favorite building on campus, and I just like to be involved and keep in, you know, making sure the building is in its best possible state.
Thank you very much, Councilor Choi. We'll go next to Councilor Fleming.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Vice President Larson, for the nomination. I'd like to continue my work as a member of the sub-advisory group. I was part of the group last year. I'm also fortunate enough for the past 22 months to have been an employee with the Students' Union as a front-facing community service rep type position. And I get a lot of inquiries, questions, complaints about sub, and I'd like to use this my position on this group as a direct pipeline to the executives and core management that essentially makes decisions where things can potentially get changed. So I would look favorable upon a vote in favor of myself. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Flyman. We'll go next to Councillor Wilson.
I think I just wanted to say thanks for the nomination, Vice President Scott. I just think this is a way for me to also get like, see and be involved in the different organizations in sub. Already showed my interest in the landing, so I think it's a way for me to just be a part of all the different things that go on. So.
Thank you very much, Councillor Wilson. So because we have five people who have been nominated, unfortunately, there are not five buttons on this voting system. So we'll do a similar vote, if Council is okay with this, with what we did at the last Council meeting, which is a heads-down, hands-up style vote. Because there are two positions that are available, each member of council will get two votes. You guys having issues over there? You guys okay? Yes, Councilor Hassan. Sorry, before I go on.
Don't know what this point is called, but could you clarify how this works for people who weren't present at the first
meeting?
Sure,
absolutely. That's a very good point. Thank you very much. So what we'll do now is we'll do basically your grade school type vote, which is basically that everyone will put their heads down and then will vote twice and only twice in favor of the two members of council who you wish to put on the sub-advisory group. So hopefully that's simple enough. Cool, cool, cool. All right, so heads down, and we'll go in the order in which people were nominated. I highly suggest you vote using your hands and not your placards, because people can hear placards and it's not secret when you're voting with your placard. All right, so
Again, in the order in which people were nominated, we'll start with Councillor Ferris. Hands up for Councillor Ferris. All right. Thank you very much. Next, Councillor Sunday. Next, Councillor Choi. All right, thank you very much. Councillor Flamin. All right, thank you very much. And last but not least, Councillor Wilson. So, in no particular order, congratulations go to Councillors Ferris and Sunday. Congratulations. All right. So, one second here. Move on to item 8H. Patches moves to appoint 4 members of Students' Council to the PAW Strategic Operating Committee. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Thibodeau, thank you very much. Vice President Patches, would you like to introduce your motion?
Absolutely. So the PAW Strategic Operating Committee is the Physical Activity and Wellness Strategic Operating Committee. And this committee is similar to the Students' Union Building Advisory Group in that instead of advising the Students' Union Building, it advises the Physical Activity and Wellness Center, which is everything over there. So it's the climbing wall, the gym, the new weight facility, as well as studios, change room, everything to do with the buildings that the phys ed department operates in, as well as all of the activity spaces on up there. So that it is restricted to those buildings. It doesn't have any say in Savile Center. But essentially it looks over how the building's operating, are the spaces meeting the needs of students, what can be done to improve the efficiency of the spaces, and things such as that. We'll be accepting 4 members to this committee. We will be accepting 4. That's a good point. So the point that President Bannister brought to me is that, so you may be wondering, why do we have a committee for this building and not CAP and staff and all that kind of stuff? And that, so a few years ago, the PAW Center is quite unique in that students actually voted to fund this building and contributed over the lifetime of the repayment on this about $30 million into the construction of this building. So the students have a massive stake in this building. So that's why we have a strategic operating committee in which student voices can be heard in the operations of this building.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. Are there any nominations for the PAW Strategic Operating Committee? Yes, Vice President Larson.
I would like to nominate Councillor Bertaroli.
Councillor Bertaroli, do you accept?
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Are there any further nominations for this committee? Yes, President Bannister.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Choi.
Councillor Choi, do you accept?
Yes.
All right. More nominations. Yes, Councillor Hassan.
I'd like to nominate myself.
All right. Thank you very much. Sorry, because this is going so speedy, I'm not like going through all that. Yes.
Would you like to nominate Councillor Wilson?
Councillor Wilson, do you accept?
I do not.
Thank you very much, Councillor Wilson. Any further nominations? Yes, Vice President Ushikoff.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Howie.
Councillor Howie, do you know if she accepts?
Yeah.
All right. Just throwing her on a committee, I like it. Any further nominations? That's 4, yeah. But I encourage you to make this as zesty as possible. There is no ceiling. Any further nominations? Seeing none, congratulations go to Councillors Bertaroli, Choi, Hassan, and Howie. All right, so
going on to the motions that were on the late additions, Patches moves to grant Councillor Flyman an exception to SU operating policy 3.3D to allow for simultaneous employment as a term employee while sitting on UASU Students Council. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Brophy, thank you very much. Vice President Patches, would you like to introduce your motion?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So as the motion describes, these two motions, both for Councillor Flyman and for Councillor Howie, provide an exemption from operating policy to allow them to be employed as term staff with the Students' Union. So for everybody's information, I'll read 3.3D of operating policy. And that is, elected members of Students' Council may not serve as Students' Union permanent employees and or term employees unless otherwise stipulated in Students' Union bylaw or approval is received from Students' Council. Today's conversation. Members of Students' Council are eligible for employment as an hourly employee with an approval from Students' Council. So, therefore, if an individual is, say, working a group at the top or duties, they don't need approval from Students' Council because that's an hourly position. So, as per operating policy, we're bringing this to Council today. And in regards to the motion on the table, I can speak in favor of allowing an exemption for Councillor Flyman. He's been nothing but professional in his work at Interlink for the past year, and I trust he will continue to do so.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. Is there any debate on item 8I? Seeing none, we shall go to a vote. So the voting system should now be live. Please vote. The voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries 29 in favor, 0 opposed, and 1 abstention. Would the abstention like to be noted? Thank you very much, Councillor Flyman. And that is a very well-used abstention and noting of an abstention. Thank you very much. We'll go next to item 8J. Patches moves to grant Councillor Howie an exemption to SU operating policy 3.3D to allow for simultaneous employment as a term employee while sitting on UASU Students Council. Is there a seconder for this motion? Thank you very much, Councillor Flyman. Vice President Patches, would you like to introduce the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So similar to the last motion, all things that I said apply to this motion as well, but in speaking Councillor Howie, she has been employed by the University of Alberta Students Union Events team for the past year, and this will be a continuation to another term of her employment. And she once again she's been nothing but professional in her role as well, and has kept her role as a counselor separate from her role as an events, as someone on the events team, and I trust she'll continue to do so into the next term. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. Is there any debate on item 8J? Seeing none, we'll once again go to a vote. The voting system should now be live. Please vote. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 29 in favor, 0 opposed, and 1 abstention. Would the abstention like to be noted? Yes. Thank you very much. All right. So that, with that, the motion carries. So I think that concludes our business for today's meeting in a very timely fashion as well, just before we're about to go into a recess. But just before we end today's meeting, I forgot to mention one thing during that Robert's Rules presentation that I think probably should be clarified. So a few days ago on the WhatsApp group, I posted a bunch of information about proxies. So after that, last night it became very clear that that was confusing. So the way it works is at these meetings, you are all elected representing a specific faculty on this council. For example, Councillor Christensen is the med and dentistry representative, right? So if he would like a proxy on this body, he needs to find somebody in his faculty, okay? So if you're in engineering, if you're in the faculty of engineering, you need an engineer to proxy for you at these meetings, okay? That is different for standing committees of Students' Council. At standing committees, a member of Students' Council will proxy for you, which is why a lot of people have been asking for proxies on that chat. Okay? So if Councillor Christensen is unable to make a bylaw meeting, he can ask Councillor Gitta, for example, to sit as his representative on the bylaw committee. Okay? The only small caveat to that is if a councillor has a long-term proxy. It's a councillor designate is the terminology now. So councillor designate is somebody who comes to more than one consecutive meeting of Students' Council to represent a particular council, and is designated by that councillor to be a councillor designate on their behalf. Okay? So that councillor designate basically is empowered to do all the same things that that councillor would do, so they are also able to sit on standing committees to represent that councillor. That might seem very confusing, but does anybody have any questions about that? Yes?
If we're designating someone, what is the process for doing that?
So the person starts doing that whenever you sort of mention that information. So when you would like to designate a proxy or a councillor designate, you'd send either myself, an email saying, this is the person I would like to designate, this is the term I'd like to appoint them as my proxy for. You can designate them as a councillor designate, for example, if they're going to serve for longer than a period of, let's say, 3 weeks, so that they'll overlap with two meetings of Students' Council. For example, if you're in the Faculty of Nursing and you're going on your clinical, you can appoint somebody to be your councillor designate for however many weeks of clinical you have. That doesn't mean that you can't come to meetings of council or you can't participate in committees. You're still empowered to do those things, but that just means that somebody in your abstention, in your absenteeism or whatever, will be able to represent you and therefore the Faculty of Nursing on this particular body. Does that answer your question? So for standing committees of council, you have to send that information to the chair. And for purposes of this body, you also need to include their CCID or copy them on the email so that I can verify that they're actually members of your faculty, because I will do that. So, any questions about that? Clear as mud? Cool. All right. So we'll go back to attendance, because we took attendance twice. So, starting with President Bannister. Vice President Scott.
Present.
Vice President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Patches.
Here.
Vice President Ushakoff.
Here.
Governor Sundari.
Here.
Councillor Lefferson.
Present.
Councillor Chu.
Here.
Councillor Gitta.
Here.
Councillor Hassan.
Present.
Councillor Piasecki.
Here.
Councillor Wilson.
Here.
Councillor Chen. Councillor Lilo.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Councillor Swain. Councillor Palandat, or proxy for Councillor Palandat. Councillor Howell.
Yeah.
Councillor Ferris.
Here.
Councillor Thibodeau.
Here.
Councillor Nguyen.
Here.
Councillor Kanawi.
Here.
Councillor Sorensen.
Here.
Councillor Hamid.
Here.
Councillor Brophy.
Here.
Councillor Christensen.
Here.
Councillor Sunday.
Here.
Councillor Brittaroli.
Here.
Councillor Flannan.
Here.
Councillor Kwan. Councillor proxy for Councillor Howie. Councillor DePinto.
Here.
Councillor Mahal. Councillor Kim.
Here.
Councillor Jones.
Here.
Councillor Wong. Councillor Troy.
Here.
And I'm here, the general manager is not. Meeting adjourned at 7:34 p.m. Yes. Councillors Brittaroli, Choi, Hassan, and Howard. Yeah, good.
It's a little gumption.
also, interestingly, when he was on council, he never received the audits.
Before we go any further, let's turn the recording.
Yeah, I would definitely.